Welcome to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Stock market, wealth, personal finance, value stocks. Invest in your life.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Money Tree Investing Podcast. We've got a really fun topic today with Kip Meadows. It's all about investing in pot. But before we get to that interview, are you looking for a better way to invest through market turmoil? Consider Betterment. Betterment is a robo-advisor that uses modern portfolio theory to help you manage your portfolio and reach your financial goals. With Betterment, you don't have to worry about what the market is doing on a day-to-day basis. Instead, use the stock market to help consistently build your wealth. For more information, visit moneytreepodcast.com/Betterment. I use Betterment to manage my own retirement fund and my travel fund, but that doesn't mean it's right for you. Go ahead and check moneytreepodcast.com/Betterment to learn if this is the right move for you. Welcome to this week's episode of the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Today we have Kip Meadows. He is the founder and CEO of Nottingham. We spoke with him a little while ago about ETFs, so we're excited to have him back. So welcome back to the show, Kip.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So today we are talking about investing in cannabis. Can you just give our listeners an idea of the market for cannabis and where that's going? And why is it starting to become such a big deal?
Well, cannabis is becoming more commercially accepted in more jurisdictions. The uses of cannabis outside of the traditional reefer madness, you know, hallucinogen, I saw a statistic that over 90% of the uses of cannabis and hemp were non-mind altering, and that, you know, people are becoming more familiar with the impact that it has on nausea and keeping people calm during surgery or after surgery. So there is, as some of the stigma goes away, I think that increases the market ability and the market acceptance, and that increases demand, which increases price. So it certainly has happened over the last couple of years and probably will continue to.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of growth in the areas where it's not really mind altering, right? So this whole education about, you know, how, like you said, it helps with nausea, or, you know, people talk about putting CBD oil on, you know, a variety of aches and pains, and it helps with everything. It's the new miracle drug.
There's a local restaurant that my dad, who's older, likes to go to with his friends one morning a week. And the average age in that restaurant is probably over 80, literally in the mornings. They sell CBD oil at the checkout counter. So,
oh, wow. Yeah.
It's really different. That wouldn't have been the case even 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah. And so when we're talking about ways to invest in cannabis or medical or whatever it is, so what are some of the different ways that you can invest?
Well, you can certainly buy direct stocks. Most of the common stocks that are out there currently that I'm familiar with, and I'm not a stock jockey, provide that as a disclaimer, but a lot of them are listed on the Canadian exchange. So it's probably a little bit more difficult for the average retail investor to find the information and to keep up with those. So I'm obviously a big fan of pooled investment vehicles, mutual funds and ETFs. That's the business we're in. But I think that is especially true in a relatively new industry and when there's a little bit more difficult access to purchasing those securities directly. So pooled vehicles have been very popular as they have come onto the market for cannabis.
Right. And then also, I mean, there are opportunities to, I mean, I know people who are actually investing in like buying pot farms in California and Oregon. Yeah. So there are kind of those business opportunities as well for investment.
No question. Here in North Carolina, we are epicenter to some of the best tobacco growing soil and environment in the world. And if it becomes legal in North Carolina, that will certainly be an attractive option for farmers here. And I think it's become that way in other states that have legalized it. You know, the agricultural products, you look at yield per acre, and when something's still expensive and commands a good high price for what's grown, it's very attractive. So you're right. There's all sorts of opportunities.
So now you talked about like the pooled investments, you talk about ETFs for cannabis. What kinds of things then should you look for? Because these are probably the easiest ways to invest and gain exposure to cannabis in your portfolio. It's probably easiest to in fact, invest in an ETF, trying to figure out which companies are going to be around later, you know, trying to do individual stock picking, trying to buy a farm, all of those things can be a little difficult, especially for the beginner. So
So
if you want to invest in an ETF, what should you be looking for? What kind of ETFs or mutual funds are there available?
Yeah, I think the thing to do without getting into making this into an advertisement for specific ones, which is not the intent, but I think one thing that is important in looking at the various portfolios of existing mutual funds and ETFs currently, there's a big difference in the types of securities that these funds or ETFs are purchasing. There are some ETFs out there that say, yes, we're a cannabis fund. And to get exposure to the cannabis market, they're doing things like buying stock in fertilizer companies like Monsanto or whatever. Well, is that really, what percentage of Monsanto's business is fertilizer for cannabis? Less than 1%, probably less than 0.5%. So is purchasing Monsanto stock really exposure to cannabis? I would say not really. The same for an ETF that has stock in a tobacco company. The tobacco companies eventually may profit quite well as cannabis becomes legal in more jurisdictions. But today, what is the percentage of revenue or profit that a Altria derives from cannabis? Next to nothing. Also, exposure to some beer and other beverage companies are dipping their toe into cannabis, but that to me does not mean it should be in a portfolio that's trying to track the growth in the overall cannabis market. So the bottom line of all that is I would look closely at what's in the portfolio and determine whether it really will rise and fall with the supply and demand and market sentiment as cannabis becomes more accepted and more popular and more profitable.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So do you think that now is the time to get involved in investing in cannabis before it becomes even more popular? I mean, do you feel like we're at kind of the very beginning of this trend and now is the time to get in?
Well, without being glib in answering that, if you and I knew that, well, you and I both could retire tomorrow or in the next 6 months. But if we knew what the future was. But my inclination and my suspicion is that we are still on the front end of this, because if you look around the country at the jurisdictions that have already made cannabis more legal and accessible, it's still a limited percentage of the U.S. economy, even though you've got California, which is a big part, and some other states. But there's still a lot left to be done. There's noise that the federal level and sometime in the next few years may reduce or eliminate the barriers from a legal standpoint. So all of that points from my thought and perspective to there's a lot of growth to be had over the next 5 to 10 years. Really short term, who knows? Because there was a lot of run up in the cannabis markets, what, a year ago? Yeah, it was about a year ago when it really ran up quickly. So trees don't grow to the sky, certainly not quickly. So longer term, I would say the short answer is yes. I still think there's a lot of upside to be had.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And as you said, I mean, we can't time the market and we can't predict the future. But the reality is that, you know, if you make a well-chosen investment now and kind of see that trend evolving in the future and kind of get in at the beginning of that trend, you have a chance to really kind of get in before it becomes expensive, right? Because once this really takes off and everybody starts, you know, the demand takes off, the price is going to go up, right?
Yeah, that's what my economics classes said. And you're exactly right. You see these charts about what if you put $1,000 in Amazon 20 years ago or whenever it first went public and what that's worth now. Certainly not every growth story is like that, but it's compelling. Even if you don't get in the exact right day or the exact right quarter, if you see a long-term trend for something, trust your instincts and be patient.
All right. Really great advice. So thank you so much for joining us today. Just before we go, if you could provide us with some information about where folks can find you online, where they can learn more about you.
Sure. Thank you. Our website is nottinghamco.com. Nottingham, like the sheriff of, with C-O on the end, .com. And I'll give you 800 number, 800-525-3863, which is 525-FUND. That will get to us. So thank you for letting me put that out there.
All right. Very cool. Thank you again for joining us. And now we will move into the panel portion of the show. Before we get into the panel portion of the show, we do need to talk really quickly about Betterment. Have you ever wondered if there was a way to avoid the stress of a volatile market? One way is to let the robots handle it. Betterment offers a better way to invest using the time-tested principles of modern portfolio theory. Answer a few questions about your financial goals and how much risk you can handle, and Betterment will construct a portfolio designed to help you build consistent wealth over time. I use Betterment to grow my own retirement portfolio and even meet my short-term travel needs. But that doesn't mean it's right for you. Do your research at moneytreepodcast.com/Betterment to figure out if it's the right move. All right. So we have an awesome panel today to talk about investing in cannabis, investing in marijuana, investing in this hot up and coming commodity. Let's go ahead and welcome today's panel. We have Joby. Welcome to the panel, Joby.
Aloha, everybody. Nice to be on. Thanks for having me.
Very cool. Thank you for joining us today. We also have returning to the show, Barbara Freeberg. Welcome to the program again, Barbara.
Hi, good morning to everyone.
And as always, our new old timer in the group, Kirk Chisholm. Hey, Kirk, how are you doing today?
Hey, Miranda. Having a good time over here. Can't wait to talk about pot stocks.
So nice. I live in a state where it's not legal, so no partaking for me. Maybe I'll just have a morning mimosa. So yeah, let's go ahead and get started. Now, Joby, you actually helped collect signatures and get a measure passed for legalized marijuana in Colorado. So let's start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about like what you need to know? I mean, we talked to Kip a little bit about investing in pot stocks and investing in ETFs related to marijuana, but what are some of the things that you need to know before you start investing in any sort of marijuana type product?
Well, I mean, I always like to know where the company is located and who's running the company. And am I doing a loan? Is it a convertible note? Am I getting equity? Is it going to be a royalty play? What are their plans? I always try to go into any kind of investment thinking about what my exit strategy is going to be and how do I get my money back? And for me, I like to invest in cash flow positive businesses that spit out dividends, that spit out royalties. I'd much rather have like a royalty deal than an equity play on most of the things I've invested in over the past, just because sometimes the companies don't fulfill the promises that they made. And then I'm stuck as a minority shareholder in a privately held company. You don't have much control or power in that position. So for me, like I like to get cash flow situations, and that's what I look for.
That's very cool. And that's kind of a different way to invest and kind of move forward with learning about investing and getting invested in kind of a private company. So let's go to you, Barb. What are some of the things that you look for if you were going to, I don't know, maybe you do invest in some sort of marijuana product. I don't know. But what about you, Barb? What are some of the things that you look for when you are going to invest in marijuana or anything else?
Well, first I have to give my regular spiel, which is when you're investing, you want to make sure that you are properly diversified and you don't want to put all of your money in one very narrow sector like pot stocks or any other very narrow sector. But that being said, if you did have a little money and you wanted to divert and go into the pot field, there are a couple ways you can do it. You can invest in individual stocks. You can invest in mutual funds, which I'd say is the most conservative way to go. The Alternative Harvest ETF with the ticker symbol MJ is a real estate investment trust that tracks the cannabis cultivators, producers, distributors along the whole production process. So I'd probably go general with a fund and not go with a specific stock.
That's actually a really great way to go about it. I myself, as many of our listeners know, am an indexer. And so that makes a lot of sense to me to look for like a collection of them rather than trying to find an individual company that's going to like take off. So let's go to Kirk. So Kirk, you're into alternative investments and that kind of thing. Would you consider investing in like a pot stock or investing in a company or investing in like a dispensary? Would you consider that sort of thing like an alternative investment? And how would you go about vetting that and making sure that it's a good choice?
You know, I think It's such a new area. And when we're looking at investments, we're looking at risk management first. That's really one of our core tenets as a firm, is we call it risk management first, because if you're doing the right things, the performance takes care of itself. What's really important is to make sure you're not going to lose money, or at least you try to mitigate it as much as possible, because there's always that risk of losing money. But because this is such a new area, I want to talk a little bit about the risk management part of it, because I think it's important. You know, with such a new area, the concerns I would have is not whether it's going to be a good investment, because I think we can all see the upside here. It's a positive trend. More states are going to legalize it. Probably eventually it's going to be legalized on the federal level, which is going to be really great on a lot of areas. But in the interim, there's a lot of back and forth and a lot of uncertainty, right? So I'll give you an example. We had a client, and I'm in Massachusetts, so we do have a formal legalization here. We had a client who wanted to invest in a cannabis-related company with his retirement account. And we said, great, let's do it. And we went through the process, and we were literally within a week of wrapping up the deal. And we get a notice from the Department of Treasury. Apparently from the custodian, they said there was a letter from the Department of Treasury that said that these are not allowed inside retirement accounts. Well, I never read that anywhere. And the only reason we knew about it was because we were going through the process. The interesting thing was there were probably people who had already done this. So what happens when they've already done that and then they make it illegal to hold it inside a retirement account? Like, all of a sudden you've created a problem, right? So because it's so new, these issues can come up because the government can crack down or change the standards. So I think in terms of the risks, you have to be really careful about the unknown risks, which are, you know, government related, because things can happen that you have no control over. So to me, that would be a concern in terms of investing that I would be very cautious of and try to think through, you know, what could go wrong here? Because I think the upside is great. I mean, you're talking about, you know, an industry which has a long runway, and there's not a lot of pure plays out there. There are definitely some, and there are some ETFs have been created to partake in this. And I can't mention the names of them because regulators will probably come after me. But generally speaking, there are some ETFs that are out there that are investing in these companies. But I think from my perspective, one of the things I'd be concerned with also is that if you're going to invest in like an ETF, make sure that it's a pure play. It's not some derivative of a company that happens to sell a light that is used to grow cannabis, right? And that's like 1% of the company's revenue, right? So you have to watch out for stuff like that, because there are so few companies, they can't fill an ETF with enough companies to make it worthwhile. So I would say whatever path you use, just do your research on it, because it's still new and there's a lot of unknowns. And I guess if I had my way, I would probably invest in a private company, like Joby said, you know, something with cash flow, something that, whether it's through equity or debt, that you can feel confident about. I think, you know, that would be a way that I would look at it as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think you do need to watch out for that kind of stuff, because, like, as you pointed out, I mean, right at the federal level, marijuana is still criminalized. It hasn't been decriminalized at the federal level. So it's something you have to take into account, like when the Treasury Department comes back and says, well, you can't hold it in this retirement account, this tax advantage retirement account. Well, these tax advantages come at the federal level. You know, marijuana has not been decriminalized at the federal level. Therefore, it's probably not going to work in something like that. Joby, I think you had something to add as well.
Okay, let me tell you my story. Basically, I helped legalize cannabis, and then I started a marijuana grow, and it failed. And then I started another one, and it failed. And I started a third one, and it failed. And I thought, how hard can this be? I mean, it's a weed, right? You just need like sunlight and water, right? It could grow everywhere. And I realized you're investing in the people. And if you're investing in a bunch of potheads that can't even wake up and get to work and make sure they're running the business, it's not going to be a successful business. And so I decided to switch to hemp instead of marijuana. CBD is a hot topic, as a lot of you guys know. It's projected to be a $22 billion market. It's not even quite a billion yet. So, but in the next, you know, 5 years, we're going to see $22 billion in industrial hemp CBD because of this farm bill, et cetera, that Trump passed. And so now it's becoming more and more accepted around the world. Lots of people are getting good health benefits from it. You know, the inflammation's going away, the seizures are going away, people with cancer are reporting favorable results, etc. So I decided to flip into hemp, and oh my gosh, it's successful, you know, because you can't smoke hemp and get all high. So that was my notice. Rolling from marijuana into hemp is less risky in my personal experience. But a lot of people don't have $1 million or $2 million to go start a hemp farm. So it's frustrating for a lot of these people who are wanting to invest. They don't have very much money. They've got a family they're raising. They got insurance and they got mortgages and car payments and all this stuff. And they're working their jobs. And they don't have $1 million and enough time to be able to invest. And so they're kind of missing this whole cannabis boom. I mean, trust me, it's a pain. You got farmers to deal with and irrigation and genetics and seeds and permits for greenhouses and water rights issues and drilling wells and, oh my gosh, nutrients. All these things that go into actually running a hemp farm is complicated, a lot of moving parts. So I wanted to figure out a way to allow the little guys, the guys that only have $1,000 or $10,000, you know, to invest in the business. I wanted to figure out a way for them to make money. And so what we decided to do was buy huge hemp farms and then crowdfund them, if you will, sell off plants. So some people can't buy a whole farm, but they can buy a plant or 10 plants or 100 plants. And what we do is we serial number those plants to the owner. And then whenever we have a harvest, which is every 2 to 3 months, we just do a 50-50 split with the owner of the plant and the farm. So the farm gets 50% of it. The owner gets 50%. If we can do six harvests a year, you know, what we do is we sell the plants for $350 a plant. And if you can get six harvests a year out of those plants, you make about $300 a year back every year, year after year after year. $300 is an 80% return on your money. So a lot of people, you know, they're like, holy cow, I can make an 80% return on my money year after year. I don't have to grow anything or get my hands dirty. I just buy a plant. So instead of buying stocks or bonds or mutual funds or all that kind of stuff, actually buy the goose that lays the golden egg. That's what I was always told growing up, is focus on buying the goose. Don't buy eggs and next month you got to buy eggs and next week you're still buying eggs. Buy the goose. We can buy CBD and we can buy joints and edibles and all those kind of things, but that's the golden egg. Marijuana plants, cannabis plants are the goose that lays the golden egg. So in my mind, I'm trying to get everybody, hey, buy some plants, help us crowdfund the hemp farm. And if you have no money, you can actually earn your way in with some sweat equity by referring others who buy some hemp plants. We can give you some commissions that you can use to jumpstart your business and buy some plants yourself if you help us. So that's kind of what I'm in the middle of right now. We've been going on for a couple of months. We just sold out one of our farms in Switzerland. We're building up another farm in Macedonia. We've got a couple of farms in Colorado. And we're just going to roll up farms into this platform. And then we're going to roll up investors on the other side in, and people can buy in with cash or with, you know, bank wires, or they can actually, we accept cryptocurrency too. So a lot of people that don't have bank accounts, there's billions of people out there living in random countries and they don't even have bank accounts, and they can still participate if they can get themselves a Bitcoin wallet. So that's another awesome way of kind of democratizing money and allowing people that the banks have been blocking their countries for years, allowing them to now participate in the global economy with cryptocurrency. So that's kind of the project I'm in the middle of. I think it's a wonderful investment. An 80% return year after year is pretty good in my book.
So what are some of the other ways, Barb? I mean, you talked about a mutual fund, getting started with a mutual fund. And, you know, Joby's all about not buying the eggs, but some of us prefer to buy the eggs. And we'll keep doing it.
Of course, of course.
Right. So Barb, you talked about the mutual funds and looking into that. What kinds of things would you look into if you were going to, say, buy an individual stock on the market versus something like what Joby is doing, where you would actually buy basically a chunk of some sort of private venture?
Sure. Well, I will get to your question, but first I have to respond to Kirk's comment, and then I have to respond to Joby's. So if you'll bear with me for a minute, Kirk, the one thing our listeners may not know is we talked about when you buy a fund, understand what the individual companies within that fund are investing in and make sure that they actually have a good allocation to the marijuana industry. Well, people may not know how to do that. So I'm just going to give you a quick 411. If you are looking at a pot mutual fund like the one I mentioned, which was the American Growth Fund series, or there's another one, the Kronos Group, which is CRON is the ticker. You just want to go to any, like Yahoo Finance, and look at the top 10 holdings. And then within those top 10 holdings, you're going to have to do a little homework to see how much is actually allocated to the specific marijuana industry. Because a lot of these funds are going to own something like a big fertilizer company, which might have 2% allocated to the marijuana industry. And so you're going to actually need to go to the individual company, read about what their products are and where their efforts are focused. And you can do this by looking the company up online, or you can look at their SEC filings. So it requires some work, but if you're serious about being devoted to pot within a fund, that's what you have to do. And then with regard to Joby's comment, I want to say it's an interesting idea. And Joby, I applaud your efforts, but I do want to say we missed one part, which is what are the risks? Every investment does have risks, and not to be the naysayer on the program, but the risks are, you know, maybe one of the farms gets wiped out in a hurricane or a weather event or something could happen. So it's not a guaranteed 80% return. As I'm sure
100%, you're actually absolutely right.
And I know you're not saying that, but I just want to, you know, be transparent that whenever investors are investing in any type of instrument, they need to know what it's the upside potential and what is the potential downside.
And we try to mitigate that risk with like crop insurance and stuff, because Colorado is known for having hailstorms, et cetera. And most of the grows that we're doing are indoors instead of outdoors, so we can get a higher yield. We get about 3,000 plants per acre, and each plant produces about a pound of product of cannabis, which right now, I mean, if you're selling it as biomass, you're only getting about $40 a pound. But if you do convert that into, let's say, smokable flower, you're getting $400 a pound. If you're, you know, making high quality distillate or isolate, CBD oil, et cetera, people are paying $50 a gram for that retail. And of course, if you buy a joint roller and make, you know, cones and joints, you know, you're getting $4,000 a pound. So we try to be very conservative and say, hey, we're not going to guarantee you you're going to get $50 a pound, but we think that it's fairly conservative because we think we can get a couple $100 a pound at least and then pay off the farmers and all the expenses and then do the 50-50 split with the farm and the owner of the plant itself. So instead of buying an actual security or the stock, you're buying a product, you're buying a plant. So if you want to go check it out, it's wegrowforyou.io. That's www.wegrowforyou.io. You can read about it, watch the videos and stuff. But it's a different way of doing it and thinking about it. I also have marijuana stocks and myself as well, you know, and I'm hoping that they go public on the IPO. And a lot of them like to go on the Canadian exchange, you know, and we'll see. I mean, a lot of roadblocks come up. The banking issue is a big problem. So I've invested in the companies, the ancillary companies that help the dispensaries, you know, take Visa, MasterCard and all that kind of stuff. Cause you know how the banks are. They don't like, they want everybody doing all this in cash and stuff. So eventually though, like we were saying before the show started, you know, federally it will be legal and all these roadblocks will stop getting in our way. So you know, the banking situation should be solved here soon. We'll see who legalizes it first, Idaho or the federal government.
I'm still betting decriminalization comes on the federal level before we get legalized in Idaho. But let's flip back to Barb real quick to talk a little bit about the difference between investing in like a publicly held company or investing in a private enterprise.
Oh, that's a really good question, because most of us invest in publicly held companies or mutual funds. And that means they have to go through a certain amount of rigor and evaluation by the Securities and Exchange Commission. It's very easy to invest in a publicly held company or a mutual fund. All you do is you go into your investment brokerage account and you click buy, and you can put in the ticker symbol for either the fund or the company, and you then can buy shares of either a company or a fund. private investing is much, much, much tougher. Typically, it's available for high net worth individuals, although today, as Joby was discussing, and across many other platforms, there are a lot of crowdfunding, there are a lot of new companies that are coming up that allow investors to buy a portion of a privately held company that may, in fact, sometime in the future go public, but they are doing whatever job they're doing, harvesting cannabis or whatever stage they're at along the supply chain. They're just not owned by the public shares and they haven't gone through the rigor of the SEC. Those are much more difficult to buy into. You have to kind of uncover those by doing some internet research. And personally, my recommendation is you want to vet a private investment much more carefully than you do a public investment, because there are those private investors' investments lack the rigor of evaluation by an outside authority.
Kirk, let's go ahead and turn to you for just a little more commentary. We've got just a few minutes left here, but let's go ahead and turn to you for just a little more insight into how do you work this and put it into your portfolio when you're constructing a portfolio. How would you take something that's kind of new like this, something that's a little bit different like this? How would you add this into a portfolio?
A lot of it depends on your involvement. Like, obviously, Joby has a lot of personal involvement with his time and his expertise. And I think, you know, somebody like Joby, you could increase the percentage of your allocation to cannabis-related investments, right? So I have this philosophy, which is really not mine, it's Peter Lynch's, which is invest in what you know. As you know, we do a lot of alternative investments. And you know, if you look at the traditional allocation, you'd say, well, you know, you want to have 5% in real estate, for instance. And I would say, well, if you do real estate all day, every day, that's what you know, and you're an expert in it, then why would you invest in tech stocks? You know, invest in real estate, invest in what you know, invest in an area where you have an edge to get a better return than just putting money in mutual funds. You know, for somebody like Joby, who's in the weeds with this, he's doing this every day, he understands the metrics and he's, you know, he has his connections. Somebody like Joby might be able to put a much larger percentage of his investments into cannabis-related investments. And I think for us, we're very agnostic when it comes to this sort of thing. But if you're not an expert in cannabis stocks and you just want to partake in the trend, then I think you have to come up with an allocation that you're comfortable losing. So you think about like a worst case scenario. What could happen if? What could happen if the federal government decides to outlaw it, right? And just say, nope, we're going to make harsher restrictions. I'm just coming up with a scenario. You know, I think it's highly unlikely they will, but let's say that that were to happen, then you could potentially lose all of your money. And that's how you have to look at it. This is a speculative area. It's new. It's not fully formed, which is why you tend to get bigger returns because there are more risks. So like any new trend, when the risks are higher, the returns tend to be a little bit higher in the earlier side because there's a lot of unknowns. Like in cryptocurrencies, a lot of things can happen and you don't know where it's going to go. The returns can be multiples of your investment or it could go to zero. And that's how you have to look at it. So I think in putting together a portfolio allocation, you know, as Barb mentioned earlier, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. So it's kind of a balance, right? You don't want to put too little because then you're not going to benefit, right? So if you put 1% of your portfolio and it goes up 100%, great, you made 1%. Okay, is that something you're going to be comfortable with? Maybe yes, maybe no. Or you could look at it and say, what if it goes to zero and I put 10%? Am I comfortable losing 10% of my portfolio? And if the answer is no, then you have to find the balance somewhere in between where you're going to be comfortable with that outcome on the upside, so you're making enough money, or on the downside, you know, if you lose it all, like how okay are you with that outcome? So now somebody like Joby, who's committing more time than money, I don't know the details of what he's doing specifically, but let's just say, for instance, he's committing his time versus money. That might be a great investment. You know, he's got the expertise, he's learning the industry inside and out, he knows what's working. As he said, you know, he failed a few times and that's the best life teacher is failure, right? You know, it's as long as you're learning from it, that's the important part. So he's taking his experience and he's amplifying his returns because now he knows what works. And, you know, he's making good cash flow streams for him. So from my perspective, part of this comes down to, are you investing for cash flow or are you investing for appreciation? You know, if you're investing in the trend as a broad perspective, then you can find good companies that are going to ride the trend. And if you're doing it for cash flow, like a real estate investor would, just find a good cash flowing investment and run with it. It sounds like what he's doing with his hemp plants and getting those kind of returns are great. From what I've heard from talking to other people, there are many, many ways to invest in this trend, which is great because you've got the medical side, you've got the, you know, the general trend, you've got farming. You can take this in so many ways that it's really interesting to watch it take form because there's so many people coming up with different ideas. Because at the end of the day, this is a farming. Obviously, there are other applications on the medical side and, you know, on the industrial side, but effectively it's farming, right? You think of it back when tobacco was, you know, in this country hundreds of years ago, like tobacco was a big cash crop. But now we have so many more applications than just smoking it that it's really interesting to see it take form. And I'm very intrigued to see where the trend goes.
Very cool. And we're all excited to see where the trend goes and all excited to see if maybe some of us can make varying degrees of money from this trend. So that's about all the time we have today. But let's go ahead and find out what everybody's up to. Let's start with you, Joby, the new kid on the block. Where can our listeners find you online?
Well, they can just Google my name, jobyweeks.com, JOBYWEEKS. And if they want to have us grow cannabis for them, just go to wegrowforyou.io. I also got yourhemp.farm. So you can also go there, yourhemp.farm. And you can read a little bit about what we're doing. We'd love to grow some cannabis for you. And you can buy, start as little as one plant and sit back every 2 months and get paid.
All right. What about you, Barb? Can you tell everybody where to find you online?
Best place to find me is at my favorite, roboadvisorpros.com, where I help individuals of varying levels of sophistication and resources learn how to invest with robo-advisors, which are investment advisors who charge low fees and manage your money for you. And that's roboadvisors.com.
All right, very cool. And Kirk, what are you up to and where can people find you?
Yeah, I think Joby's going to get a lot of calls today. We're going to grow your weed for you. That sounds like a great marketing thing. So just wanted to point that out. So my name's Kirk Chisholm. I'm a wealth manager at Innovative Advisory Group. We don't just manage your wealth. We make your life better. You can find more about me at innovativewealth.com or all of the normal social media channels. And I also want to put in a plug for the fact that no cannabis plants were harmed in the taping of this episode.
Very good. Very good. And as always, you can find me at mirandamarkwood.com. I'm available on all the interwebs in the social media. So head over to mirandamarkwood.com. You can also find a resources page where I share how I manage my money and make it work for me. And if you want more episodes of the Money Tree Investing Podcast, if you're looking for more investing ideas or more practical tips for how to get started, head to moneytreepodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to us. You can receive a brand new, steaming, fresh episode in the device of your choice every single Friday morning by subscribing. So we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and everywhere else fine podcasts are sold, including Spotify. So you can also find us on Spotify. So head over to there as well. Add us to your playlist. So don't forget, no one will take care of your money as well as you do. So invest in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Visit us at moneytreepodcast.com for more free investing resources.